It's lovely to see you all again. And I hope you don't mind trying some different songs this morning. How many of you had heard that combination before that we just sang just now? Some of you have, okay. But most of you hadn't. So perhaps we'll have to do that again sometime. Saren, if you want to hear what it's like, just go to YouTube and you can see that, you know, that connection can be really beautiful. Because it brings, at least for me, it reminds me of what this communion service is all about. Nothing good about me. It's I come broken. And we're coming today, as we share the broken bread of Jesus Christ, to be mended, to be healed. And it's my hope and prayer that that will be your experience today. For those of you here last week, you know that I shared an experience about going to Rome recently and about seeing this beautiful sculpture that Michelangelo did of what might have happened. And that's the picture there that you see, that Pieta, that is a depiction of the mother of Jesus, Mary, perhaps holding the limp, broken body of Jesus after he was taken down from the cross. And as I was reading the scriptural account this week of the crucifixion and the whole story, which is central to what we celebrate as Christians, isn't it? You know, it's the Bible's full of good teachings, but ultimately it's about what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that is what we commemorate at the communion time. I was struck by this passage in John 19 and verse 26 that was read for us this morning. Thank you, Henrik. When Jesus saw his mother there, and this is Jesus dying on the cross, and the disciple whom he loved, in other words, that was John, the apostle, standing nearby, Jesus said to her, "Woman, behold your son." Picture the scene at the crucifixion. At the foot of the cross, in the middle of unbearable, excruciating pain, Jesus does something quite astonishing. He notices his mother. You see, Jesus is not turned inward, as I think happens to most of us when we're in pain. You can't think of anything else or anybody else. But instead, he does not let suffering forget his love. Instead, he speaks words of care and says to his mother, "Behold your son." Even as he bears the sins of the world, he makes provision for his mother in her later years. This is not only, I believe, a tender moment, it is a revelation of the heart of Jesus Christ for this world. You see, love remains steady even on the darkest day. We know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at the cross. And in Luke 23, verse 55, it talks about the women who were with Jesus, following Jesus, not only from Galilee to Jerusalem, but also it says that they observed the tomb and how he was laid. Other Gospels specifically give the names of some of those women. But I can't imagine that after the crucifixion of Jesus, when his body was being taken down, if Mary, the mother of Jesus, was right there at the scene, would she have joined those women or would she have just gone back home? Can you imagine, personally, missing out on the burial of your son if you had a choice and an option? This is a speculation, I realize. There is nothing specifically that says that Jesus, the mother of Mary, was among those others, but this text, for me, gives an indication that perhaps she just drew in that crowd of women from Galilee, and she was there when Jesus was buried. Could it be that as the tomb was being prepared, that as the women were gathering around and noticing what was taking place, could it be that Mary was noticed by Joseph of Arimathea? And perhaps Joseph, who was responsible for this final interment process, as they thought about it at the time, that this same Joseph gave the body of Jesus into the hands and the arms of his mother. Again, I say, yep, this is not something that we're absolutely sure of, but it seems to make sense to me that Joseph of Arimathea would have known the love of Jesus' mother for Jesus. And when Jesus had said on the cross, "Behold your son," he knew that this relationship was very special. And yes, originally we know that he was asking, when Jesus said, "Behold your son," that Jesus was asking John, the disciple, to take care of Mary. But perhaps we could also take a devotional interpretation of that. And to take that son, that text, and even though it was meant partially as an instruction for Mary and for John, could it also be an instruction for us? Behold the Son. Could it be that we too need to keep looking at Jesus? You see, last week in this Pieta, this picture I showed you of what Michelangelo imagined would be the scene there. We have the picture there of a sculpture that was created when Michelangelo had just finished his early training in the hands of, you know, a great stonemason, great sculptor, and at the age of 23, he commissioned, and he was commissioned to do this art piece. And he shows such incredibly mature understanding of the emotions of Mary. And he took her in that piece of stone and brought her to life for all who see her in that position, completely surrendered as the body of her son lay in her lap. The one that she had once received as a child in Bethlehem, she now receives for herself again in death. The mother who cradled Jesus first in joy now cradles him in sorrow. And yet John chapter 19 and verse 26 reminds us that grief is not the end of the story. At the cross, Jesus forms a new type of family. When Jesus said, "Behold your son," Mary is entrusted to this beloved disciple, and the beloved disciple is entrusted to Mary. But what's happening is that Jesus did not treat people as individuals. What he was doing is he was saying, at the cross, I am making a new sort of family where we are being adopted, just like Mary and John were being adopted into a new family together. So we are being created in a new community as we look at what Jesus did and as he says, "Behold the Son." We become family ourselves together. We become brothers and sisters. We become mothers and sons, not merely bound by blood, but by grace instead. In case some of you are wondering, Pastor, are you pushing the point here? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Yes, he is Lord, he is God, but Jesus calls us brothers and sisters because he has a common humanity with us. He is our spiritual brother. And so, according to Mark chapter 3, verse 34, he says, at the beginning of his ministry, here are my mother and my brothers. He is not only pointing to his physical mother and brothers, but he is pointing to the wider crowd that is listening and saying, you who are followers of me, you who are listening to me, you who are looking at me, you are my brothers and sisters and my mother. God is making us into a new family. So when we hold the Pietà, this name that is given to this statue of Jesus holding his, of Jesus being cradled by his mother, we hear the words of Jesus to Mary, behold your son. And that's what she's doing. We too are invited to the scene of that terrible loss. We're invited to behold the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. We're invited to remember the faithfulness of Mary, who stood by Jesus and kept looking at him right till the end. But we're also reminded that at the cross, when Jesus created this new type of family, this was the birth of the New Testament church, the birth of Christianity. The birth of the church took place at the cross. So today, I'd like us to pause to contemplate and reflect on what Jesus did in showing the love of God for each one of us, as well as remembering that he has created among us a new family for each one of us. And so today, we will be sharing the body and the blood of Jesus that has been broken and that has been shed for us. And so today, after we've had our foot washing service, we're going to invite you to receive this body and blood, this bread and this wine, as a gift from Christ. But it is a gift that is being shared by human hands. And so let us receive one another as gifts from Christ, carrying one another in love and trusting that even in the suffering of this world, the mercy of God is still at work for us all. Amen. We'd like to invite you to go to